Can you read, please, in the book of Acts, chapter 13? The hymn that we have just sung together is an excellent link between what we have heard and what is before me just now. It is the exercise of the elders of this assembly. They have asked me to say something about a personal call. And I feel at the beginning of my message that I should really say, pardon the personal illustration. Before I touch this most difficult task, I want to make it very clear that there are principles from the Scripture that we need to follow. And for that reason, I want to read in the book of Acts, chapter 13. And we're going to read the first few verses. Before I read them, I do want to say that while it is true that we do not base a doctrine exclusively on verses from the book of Acts, the historical account that was written there will show to us principles and patterns that we practice that go along with the rest of Scripture. And so, let's just take a look at some of these verses. Acts chapter 13. And I want to speak specifically from verses 2 and 3. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. Very simply, when I come to these verses, first of all, I want to notice in verse number 2, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, that's their conduct. The Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul." That's the command. "For the work whereunto I have called them," obviously, that's the call. "And when they had fasted and prayed," that's the communion that they enjoyed with the Lord, the ones that were in that assembly in Antioch. "And laid their hands on them." That is the confidence that they had in them as being part of that local fellowship. They sent them away, or they let them go. That is the care they expressed to them as they went and after they went. So we come to take a look at some of these principles that I just want to underline before we get into some details of how that worked in a very personal way. But we are talking about the way that God's work is carried on. And so last evening we heard that this world thinks very little, if at all, about the assembly function and our spiritual work that is carried on from testimony to testimony, from company to company. At the same time, we don't want then in our minds to be so affected by that thought, though the world's influence that we have just heard about, to think that the way the assembly works and the way gospel work goes on worldwide, that it is any less important than the things that are legitimate in our daily lives. The way that God works today, just like he did in those bygone days, call them primitive days, call them the first days, the way that God works today is the same in which God worked in years gone by. Let us be careful that we don't want to just bring modernism into our assembly life, that it will indicate to us the way things ought to be done. Oh, I realize that there are technological advantages that we have, like the microphone. There are technological disadvantages that we have, like a recording system that's going to go all over the world before the end of the week. I realize that there are things that we're going to use, and we are going to make friends of the mammon of this world, this earth, to be able to take the Word of God to other places, to be able to serve the Lord. But then when we come to the principles that are at hand, I'm going to notice that the call is something specific from the Lord. And before I get to that, I just want to say this, that a need does not constitute a call. There are needs all around us. And so just because there's a need, that doesn't necessarily mean that that person is called to do that. But there is a specific call from God Himself to do a specific work. But before we get to that, I want to notice something else here. And as they ministered, these are the principles that were taking place in Antioch, obviously. There is a list of names in the first part of that chapter, verse number 1, of these men that were working. And they were obviously involved in activities in the assembly. And so now we come to the principle of work. These men were all working in the assembly. And can I just very carefully suggest that the Lord will call a man that's working? It's not so much a matter of, I really don't have anything else to do, I wonder if the Lord is calling me. I haven't found a job in 10 years, well, maybe the Lord would have me to do something in some other field. As they ministered, it was a matter that there was a work that they were already involved in. And so God was going to take up that person. Can we go back to the gospel accounts and find that when the Lord Jesus Christ was going to call his disciples, he went to men that were working. There were men that were found in a boat. There were men that were found on the shore mending their nets. There was a man that was found sitting at a table at his secular work. And the Lord called those men. And so there is the principle of work that is established before ever they were called to that work. Then he says, not only, and they ministered to the Lord and fasted. I want to notice something of the spiritual character of these men. And when I say these men, I'm talking about the leadership of the assembly, as well as the men that were serving. And I'm looking into the faces of men that are leaders and the companies of God's people in this country. And the spiritual character of these men made it so that the Lord was able to talk to them, to give his message to these men. And so they ministered and they fasted. There was that time of fellowship with the Lord that they were involved in. Then he says to them, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. The command that the Lord gave, and now I just want to underline another principle. The command the Lord gave, he gave to the leadership of that assembly. The Lord had called Paul and Barnabas, but he told it to the elders of the assembly. And the messages were the same. It would be highly unlikely of the Lord that a man would go to the elders of his assembly to say, I've been called to the work of the Lord. And the elders, they all have a heart attack in surprise. There are enough heart problems in leadership in the assembly. And so the message that was communicated to the elders was the same message that went to Paul and Barnabas. And while that is a principle that comes to us from Acts chapter 13, it is something that we would practice today. If I've had my ears pulled by the elders of the assembly and said, boy, it's time you got to work and did something, I would have a pretty good idea that I need to put my hands to the wheel and don't be going and asking for a letter of commendation next week. But then he says, I have called them. I do want to speak specifically about the word call in a moment or two. The verse number 3 is obviously the occasion where that commendation took place. When they had fasted and prayed, I want to think again of the communion that they had with the Lord. This was not a matter of making a business decision, of just saying, well, we have 4 points of our business administration here. Point one, check. It's fine. Okay, off we go. No, they fasted and prayed about this issue. It wasn't a matter of just leaving it to a business mind. It wasn't a matter of just having an administrator come in and just give us a checklist of what was to take place. Their communion with the Lord. Again, their spiritual status. These were men that were very occupied with seeking to do the will of the Lord. Whether it was the men that stayed in that place or the men that went out. And so each one of them had their specific work to do. They laid their hands on them. I have mentioned this is their confidence in the men that went. I don't want to belabor the point, but I do want to say that because of the responsibility that a commending assembly has, they want to be sure that they have confidence in a person that they will send out to the work. Because that person will be working sometimes at great distances from the men that have signed the letter of commendation. There will be occasions where there are situations come up that need to be dealt with almost immediately. And the commending elders want to have confidence in that person that they know how to deal with the situation, or they know how to come for help to the right people to be able to deal with that situation. And to have the confidence in that person that they will carry on scriptural principles that they were taught and that they practiced in the home assembly before ever they went anywhere else. And were that confidence to change, then that person would be called to give an account for what he or she is doing. So when we come to these words, and they laid their hands on them, oh, I know, I suppose we normally hear that's just the right hand of fellowship with them and so on. Can I just suggest it goes a little farther than that? It's a confidence in the person that's going out. And they let them go. I'm just going to leave that. It's the care that they showed. They knew this was of the Lord. We can't hold them here any longer. We want to let them go now. They're going to go and serve. They have our confidence. We know that is need in another place. We know that there is opportunity for them to go and serve. We want to let them go serve. So my brother, my sister, when it comes to the work of the Lord in this present day, the principles that we practice are the same that took place when the Lord gave us a pattern through the book of the Acts that correspond to principles that we have in the epistles for the work of the Lord today. Well, now, I need to come to what I've been asked to do by the brethren here. So you can all put your notebooks away and go to sleep. And if you have some hard candy, give it to me. There are 4 things that I want to consider, and I want to be very careful in the way I want to put this across, because I'm a regular man with a normal life. It's just that there was a specific call to do a specific work. I want to notice something, first of all, about the conviction, and if I put this in my mind in order, maybe at least it'll come to you across in some kind of order. I want to notice the conviction, I want to notice the communication, the circumstances specifically, and the confirmation. Again, I'm trying to make sure that we're based on scriptural principles to be able to tell you of what went on. I probably should tell you that I come from the assembly in Portage la Prairie, Manitoba. At the present time, there are two assemblies there, so our commending assembly would be what is now called River Road Gospel Hall. They moved 2 weeks ago, and for that reason, now it's not First Street anymore. It's River Road. I'll probably get mixed up, and I'll keep saying First Street because that's where I went all the days of my youth. I was saved in the city of Portage. Was baptized in the First Street Gospel Hall, and we were received into fellowship there. And when I say we, I do believe that my wife and I were received into fellowship the same day, the same Lord's Day. My wife was also saved and baptized in Portage and brought into the fellowship there. So that assembly knew us from the days when we were brats in Sunday school to the days where we tried to really impress the elders about how to collect hymn books and how to arrange chairs, and then came into the assembly fellowship. And I say that just to give you a background of where we came from. My parents came out of a religious system, and very shortly after they came to the hall and I began to hear the gospel clearly, it was then very shortly after that I was saved. And from that time, my parents have enjoyed assembly fellowship in that place. Ironically, Wednesday I was in Guadalajara, David. And we came away from Guadalajara, and we left my parents there. So they're holding the fort while we're up here. I wonder how it's working. My dad does not know Spanish, but he loves to communicate with everybody. So we began to help in the assembly, teaching Sunday school and being involved in gospel activities, both in the assembly in Portage, the River Road Assembly, and in the surrounding assemblies. My father-in-law, Mr. Jim Webb, was an evangelist on the prairies for some 45 years, and even before we were married, I began to travel somewhat with him, and there are some that would say that I had an ulterior motive to go with him. I was the driver, and he was able to read his books, knit, and to plan where our next stops were going to be. One of the nicest sweaters I have, young men, and you'd wear it today, you young men would. My father-in-law knit it for me, so I hold that as part of my inheritance, and it has a rather special place in the drawer back there in Guadalajara. So we began to just work a little in gospel work in the prairies of Manitoba, Saskatchewan, and Alberta. The conviction that I have mentioned, it's God's will in God's way. Pushing your way into some kind of service is not what God has in mind. So I want to notice that it is a call to service, or a call to serve. And a call to serve, it basically means just doing what I'm told. Young men, if you want to serve the Lord, you've already heard one of the best pieces of advice this morning. Brush your teeth. If you want to serve the Lord, make your bed. If you want to serve the Lord, please pick up your socks. Those are just little things that, who told you? It was your mother that told you that. You won't listen to your mother, but oh, I can do great things for the Lord. I don't think so. If you want to serve the Lord, because this is a call to service, you're going to need to serve. I remember in what in my mind is the very first thing that I ever did for the Lord. It's in my mind that way in relation to the assembly. It was the Portage Conference, Thursday night at the prayer meeting. And those prayer conferences, boy, are they long. Thursday night's the prayer meeting, all day Friday, all day Saturday, all day Sunday. Glen Ewan Conference is the next weekend. Prayer meeting Thursday night, all day Friday, all day Saturday, all day Sunday. Glen Ewan is, Taylorside is the next weekend. Prayer meeting Thursday night, all day Friday, all day Saturday, all day Sunday. Portage has nice chairs like this. Glen Ewan has chairs that just have a little bit of sponge. Taylorside has the same hard metal chairs that Steve put me on at his place last night. And let me tell you, by the third day of the third conference on a hard metal chair, you were about to shout praise the Lord when somebody said, let's stand and sing a hymn. Where was I going with that? It's called to serve. First thing I ever did for the Lord, see, the parking lot of the Portage Gospel Hall was right next to a government building. And the government building used that parking all week long for free. So the Friday of our conference, we wanted the parking. So just the Thursday night, we would go and put no parking signs, conference. And one of the elders came to me with the signs and a hammer and said, would you put these signs up? And in my little heart, I thought, I can do this for the Lord. And I put up no parking signs on the three driveways of the parking lot. Because I thought, if ever I'm going to serve the Lord, I'm going to need to do as I'm told. And so it was with a wooden stake, a plastic sign, and a hammer that came off a Noah's Ark, and to go and put the signs around. It's a call to serve. I want to notice that it's a specific call. Not only is it a call to serve, it's a call that's specific, because when you come to study the scriptures, you're going to notice that there's a call to salvation. And so when we respond to salvation's call, we get that wonderful gift of God, that eternal life. The Lord says that we're to call upon Him. And so when we call for salvation, we get it. Then there is a call in relation to the assembly. We've been called to the fellowship, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. And so we come into the fellowship to respond to a call by the Spirit of God to be gathered together to His name. My brother, my sister, I hope you're aware that when you came into the fellowship, you were responding to a call from God. It's not just that mom and dad are there. Praise the Lord if mom and dad are there. It's not just a matter of my friends are asking too. And it's not just a matter that it's the nicest hall in town. The Lord called me here. And I responded to that call. Then I obviously want to come quickly to what is a call to a specific service. The disciples were called to a specific service. Then there were those that were called to the service of the 70, and they went out. And then we're going to have a call that we've read of in Acts chapter 13, and these men were called. They were all workers. And as far as we know, these other men in verse number 1, they continued to work in that assembly. Antioch was the center of Christian activity and missionary outreach from Acts chapter 11 on. Jerusalem had been the central point from Acts chapter 1 up until Acts chapter 10. But now we come to Acts chapter 11, and Antioch will become a center of emphasis and activity. And from there they will go out. And so these men, they continued to work in Antioch. But there were two of those men, they're going to go somewhere else. And for them to be able to go somewhere else, and for them to be able to serve an opportunity, the Lord is going to see to it that they are called to that service, and then they are sent to that service. So it is a very specific call. I suppose today that there would be, can I say, a generality in that call, in that the Apostle Paul obviously was called to go to the Gentiles. And that meant he went where Gentiles were. And he went to many different places. And so today, while men are called, there would be a specific place where they might be called to, but in a general term, as in probably a country. It's very difficult to be serving in more than one country at once, obviously. But it's also difficult to serve in more than one country, even over a long period of time. We have, obviously, laws that are in place now that, for example, if you're going to be Canadian, you must live in Canada for 180 days at least. When it comes to the United States, I believe it's somewhat similar, and even in Mexico. We're allowed to be a tourist in there for 180 days, but after that we need to come out. So if you're going to live in that country, there are legal things that need to happen for you to be able to stay there. Well, now, not only is it a call to service, a call that's specific, but it is a call that is spiritual. And when I say that, I want to say that we're talking about something that is very real. Not some mystical idea. And not something that happens to you at midnight when you're sound asleep. If you're sound asleep at midnight. It is a call that's spiritual, something that is very real. God is working, God is speaking. And the way God called you for salvation, it was so real to you. A call to specific service is just as real. I want to know something about the communication. How does the Lord communicate this to you then? I have at least three aspects that I want to emphasize. First of all, he is going to use the Spirit of God. Second of all, he's going to use the Word of God. And third of all, he's going to use the people of God. So, the Spirit of God. Romans chapter 8 is going to indicate to us that the Spirit of God is going to work with our spirit and is going to speak to our spirit. And there is going to be not only a personal desire for you to serve the Lord, and that personal desire comes along with the realization of what it might cost. This is not some idea of walking into a dream. And you're blinded by the light and don't see anything, but you're just going to go blindly on. That is not a call from God. The Spirit of God is going to place within your heart that longing to serve Him. The Spirit of God is going to open up opportunities for you to serve Him. And so the Spirit of God is going to make it clear to you. Not some fuzzy feeling in the bottom of your feet. That's the cat that's sleeping on your bed. But it's going to be a clear indication from the Spirit of God, and that indication will agree with every principle of the Word of God. And for that reason, I have emphasized the principles at the beginning of my little message here now. Because the Spirit of God will never lead you contrary to what the Word of God teaches. And can I just say again, if the elders of the assembly feel one way, and this person would feel another way, be very, very careful. Because if the principles of the Word of God are what we are following, then there must be an issue that needs to be resolved. Because the two will be the same. They'll go together. So the Spirit of God is going to do that. But I want to notice that it's coming from the Word of God. And now I need to come to how this happened personally. I was working a temporary job at the military air base in Portage la Prairie. They were closing the air base, and for that reason, the full-time carpenter had been taken another job in Ontario somewhere, and so for just a few months, while they were closing the air base, they needed a temporary carpenter. I had carpentered with my father for some 9 years in Canada. He's a journeyman carpenter, and I took my apprenticeship under him. My little white ticket with a red seal hangs in his shop in Canada to this day, and ironically, when the job came opened, my father called me at noon one day and said, there's this job opening, but if they give it to anybody, there have to be three carpenters apply. He said, I know of another one and I'm applying. Could you apply? So I applied and got it. My father was supposed to get that job, but I got it. So what I did because of my, and I confess to you young men, because of my laziness, I got up in the morning to just read a chapter quickly. And then the 12 miles to work, it was all Trans-Canada Highway, or most of it was Trans-Canada Highway, so there was very little traffic. I used that as my time to pray. And I prayed out loud, because if I didn't pray out loud, I'd get distracted because I'm driving and I didn't close my eyes. So I'm driving to work. I had read a chapter before I left. And I was reading Luke chapter 9. Better go to it so I don't quote it wrong. I was reading Luke chapter 9. And when I came to verse number 59, the morning while I had read it didn't seem to affect me much. But I can take you right to the corner 3.5 miles or 4 miles north of where we lived, and around the corner, I can take you right to the spot on the Trans-Canada Highway where suddenly the words came to me out of verse number 59, follow me. It came to me in such a forced way that I right out loud said, where, Lord? Now, our exercise had been to help where we could, but now the Lord was saying, follow me. And the next morning, I got up and I read Luke chapter 10. It's a good thing to be consecutive in your read. So I read Luke chapter 10. And I came to the same place in the road. And now the answer came to me from verse number 2. Into the harvest. And my heart started to race. And I thought, what am I going to do? I had a firm conviction that Acts chapter 13 was what the Lord had laid on my heart, at least. And I was not going to say anything to the elder brethren of the assembly. If this was of the Lord would let them know in his time. The Lord had spoken to me. And so the word of God was used to indicate to us that there was some work that we needed to do. Then the people of God. The Lord will use the people of God. I wonder, we're going to have some conversation time today. We're going to have time where we're speaking one to another. Could it be that someone here today has exactly the word that's necessary for someone else in their situation in life? Whether it's to an aspect of the work of the Lord, or a family situation, or an assembly situation. When we talk to each other, how careful are we about what we say? There was an older gentleman, and when I say older gentleman, I see, Brother David, that they've got these men here from Jackson. They wisely put us in order of age. There was a young man that spoke first, and now there's a middle-aged man that's speaking. And if I get down fairly soon, there's going to be a mature man that's going to speak to us from the Word of God. There was an older gentleman, and he began to encourage us quietly in his own home about the work of the Lord. We were to an assembly meeting where another man was taking the ministry, and after the meeting, another man came and he spoke of an invitation to come to Mexico for just a little while to help in a seed sowers distribution. And one by one, different people were encouraging us. They were the Lord's people. And I think that we little realized, and maybe they didn't realize either, how much encouragement it would be that they would speak to us about these matters. Then, one of the things that I want to deal with are circumstances, and I want to be very clear. Circumstances are the last thing that you deal with as far as finding the will of the Lord is concerned. Circumstances can be deceiving. Circumstances can be favorable and it not be the will of the Lord. Circumstances can be unfavorable and it is the will of the Lord. But circumstances can help. Circumstances must always go along with all the principles of Scripture that we believe, that we've come firmly to a conviction about. In the country of Canada, there are two official languages, English and French. For the most part, it's just understood that the second language that a child will learn, and especially in the part of Canada where we were, was all English. It was just obvious that the second language would be French. I took Spanish. I don't really know why, except for this, that there were some migrant workers from Mexico working in Canada at that time, and I thought I wanted to communicate with them, so I took Spanish. I didn't realize that sometime later that Spanish was going to be exactly what the Lord was going to use as a foundation to be able to learn the language better sometime later. In 1985, I went to Mexico for 1 month. I'd been invited to go along with another man. We gave out some 7,000 tracts in the country of Mexico. I saw its great darkness. I saw the great need in that country and came back and began to pray for Mexico. And in 1986, we were married. And from that time on, we decided that we wanted to do something for the Lord. We had children's meetings in a gospel tent on our yard. We lived in rural Manitoba. We had children's meetings on our yard for 9 years consecutively. At times, we followed them by gospel meetings. Now I had the help of my father-in-law to preach the gospel on a few occasions during that time. So those were activities that we were involved in. Then in 1992, we went to Mexico for a visit. And that visit was to be for 3 months. That visit turned into 5 months. And there are certain circumstances that took place then that were confirmation to us about the way that we wanted to go in the will of the Lord. I want to say something quickly about the confirmation of a call. The instruments that God used, and I say instruments, I am thinking of the elders of the assembly and the other people that gave us encouragement. I remember that there was a certain Sunday morning where one of the oldest elders of the assembly, he's with the Lord now, he had a very interesting way of communicating. We were downstairs in the hall, and he had a cup of coffee. And he came and he pushed it against my chest, and he walked until I was standing against the wall. And he said to me, "We want to talk to you. Tuesday night, bring your wife." The interview. I every day appreciate more the carefulness of those men that asked us question after question and asked us, "Can you tell us of a call?" And I told them about the Trans-Canada Highway and the verses of Scripture. I think they asked my wife one or two questions. Anybody that knows my wife knows she's just shy, 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 and that's not an exaggeration. They asked her two questions that night, I think, or three. She could tell you about how the Lord used the Word of God to speak to her. Because I've come to this conviction that I wasn't going out alone to be the worker. We were a team. And we had to go together. So, the interview, the indication. We were in Vallarta for 5 months. And I was asking the Lord, "Well, it's one thing for me to be able to paint benches, to build halls. It's one thing for me to just come and do social service, as it were. But if I'm going to be down here to work in the work of the Lord," I pleaded with the Lord to give me just an indication that it would be so. By the time we had been there that long, I had been studying Spanish all that time, along with my wife. And the brethren asked that I would preach the gospel on the Sunday night, the last Sunday night that I was there. I studied and studied and studied and studied, and I wrote and scribbled and scratched out and rewrote. Oh, some 20 or 25 hours I spent studying to prepare this message for Sunday night. And I got up there, and for 20 minutes I mumbled around and gave out this little message that I thought that I had spent so much time preparing. Sunday night came, Monday night came and went, and I thought, well, I just wonder if the Lord is telling me that it's time to go home and get out the carpentry tools and to just stick at it. And a neighbor man came along. He said to me, a man that was in the assembly, they lived just across the street from us, he said, "Hear what happened Sunday night?" I said, "No, I didn't hear what happened Sunday night." He said, "There's a man that's been coming," and he explained the man to me. He said, "He got saved Sunday night in the meeting." And my heart leapt, and I thought, well, if I asked the Lord for an indication and he gave it, I had better just take it. So we went home and decided that we weren't going to tell the elders. The elders were going to come to us. The elders did come to us. And we had the interview, and they told us to put our things in order. And at the end of the summer, they would commend us to Mexico. And we went. We carried on our Spanish studies and have worked in several different cities. We are grateful that the work is the Lord's, and he has been able to use us as instruments in that work. It's just a tremendous thing to see God work. Just a few months ago, and I am going to stop, Brother Sean. Just a few months ago, I got a text message from a lady who lived in El Barril, San Luis Potosí, to take care of her mother. She had gone down to the state of Morelos. And she wrote me just a couple of months ago, and she said, I'm getting baptized this week. She said, I just want to let you know that it was the Lord used you as an instrument on March the 23rd of 2013, I think it was, for me to understand the gospel. And so the work goes on. It's the Lord's work, and we're grateful for that. We are glad to be able to be humble servants in the work that He's called us to.